The format of tonight's meeting is 2 10-minute speakers, the first of which will speak on the 10th tradition, followed by our information break. And then our main speaker, who will speak for 30 minutes. Our first 10-minute speaker to share on the 10th tradition is Robert.
Hey everybody, my name is Robert and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety day is August 19th, 2010. This is my home group. I have a sponsor and practicing these 12 steps to the best of my ability. I'm going to start with the long form. So 10th tradition. No AA group or member should ever, in such a way as to implicate AA, express any opinion on outside controversial issues, particularly those of politics, alcohol reform, or sectarian religion. Alcoholics Anonymous groups oppose no one concerning such matters. They can express no views, whatever. So when I came in here, before I got sober, I couldn't stop drinking. I watched the same movie over and over again. It was completely isolated, and I had opinions on everything. I used to love arguing at the bar about whatever, how I was going to fix the world. And, kind of like talks about, and that was me. And I always wanted to be right. And I did this at work, too. I would just constantly, like, berate people to agree with me. I had to be right. And, when I came in, the steps seemed like a lot of hard work. They didn't make sense at first because I was like, that's a lot of work. But, I came in on the third tradition as well as when I saw the 10th tradition, I saw that, wow, I don't have to belong to a particular like club or be have certain beliefs. It didn't matter. That's what stood out to me in the beginning, was that it didn't matter what my beliefs were outside of this. I didn't understand anything about my disease at that time, but I knew that this was a safe place. It didn't matter. So I go through these 12 steps. I have a spiritual awakening, and I think most people, I didn't understand how important the traditions were, and especially that fifth tradition. That's our primary purpose. To carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers, and then the rest of the traditions flow through that. The future of this fellowship is at stake, and it comes up all the time, in recent discussions with people in this fellowship. And, before I got sober, I would love to engage in outside issues. There's so much going on in the world, right? And every time, that's what I have a sponsor for. When there's stuff going outside in the world, my sponsor reminded me, like, God is everything and God is nothing, right? And so that just keeps it simple for me. That's my experience. Like, the issues that would keep me up at night, or I'd drink over, or I'd have to have you agree with me, like, it doesn't matter. But, it still comes up from time to time. We're not doing this because we're, like, virtuous. I'm not speaking on those matters because I don't want to destroy what we have here. It talks about we haven't been involved in any public controversies, right? And, it talks about, there was a movie that came out that might have, like, had a bad light of AA, and, we threatened the lawsuit, but we didn't do anything, right? We realized that, this is a spiritual program of action. We don't have a congressional charter, we're not, you can imagine if we had lawyers, right? Imagine how much the book would cost if we had to pay lawyer fees, right? How much our due? We would actually, maybe we'd have dues instead of not just being, you're welcome here if you're new. You wouldn't, I was in a fraternity in college. I had to pay to be part of that fraternity. I was used to having to do stuff to be involved. I had to have certain opinions. I had to have certain, here we have 12 steps. That, we have a common solution to a common problem that we can all agree upon. When we start talking about other stuff, like, I don't engage in that. And then, like I said, it's not because I don't want to. I had a, But every now and then I'll take the bait. I was with my family. It's one of those rare times I'll bring up, like, I'm like clamping at the bit to talk about certain things, and you can't shut me up on certain things. But, you know, my brother and father are asking me questions. I could not resist saying stuff. And I just saw what that did to me. Like, and at least today, like, I know that, like, I don't want to be right, because I could be right and then I could be drunk, right? That's what ends up happening. I can argue all day, and eventually I say okay, and then I'm so fired up, you know, I'm gonna go right to the bar, because I just, you know, that's what that kind of stuff does to me, right? When I come here, or it's like doing fellowship, you know, these are things that we have to consider when we're talking to people. Like, I don't bring up certain things, whether it's like a religion. Whatever religion you are, it's perfectly fine. That's the beauty of this program. Like, I don't have to believe in a certain religion. I could be an atheist, and that's fine. Doesn't matter what political party you are. You know, everybody likes to talk about the election. I'm not going to talk about it. You're not going to hear me talk about it. I know how that can divide people. But here, we have a common solution. We have 12 steps. We have 12 traditions. We have 12 concepts. Those are all things that we can agree upon. But outside of that, I'm not qualified. And if I have to talk about those things, like I said, I have a sponsor. And I could talk to him about that. You know, I'll do inventory if I have a resentment because somebody said something. Like, I don't have to say something to you. I could do the inventory and deal with it on my, you know, with my sponsor. Like I said, everything flows back to Tradition 5. Why are we here? Right, we're here for the newcomer to show them a way out. You know, the book, everything that's in the book, you know, our experience with the 12 steps. That's our truth. I don't have to go beyond that. I'm glad that this is a simple program. I don't have to, that's so important. If I came in here and I thought I had to believe certain things, I would have left right away, because I was looking for any opportunity to leave. You know, when I came in, I wasn't necessarily sure I was an alcoholic. The most important thing was I just felt welcome, and I hope anyone that's new here feels welcome. You know, these traditions are what keep us together. I have these 12 steps, but where am I going to go if there's none of you? You know, I need to remember. I need to remember, like, why I'm here. I'm here to help somebody, hopefully, and carry this message as clearly as I can, as best I can, as it's been laid out to me. Everybody talks about the Washingtonians, you know, and when I heard that, I initially thought it was a political organization, just by the name itself. And they were basically the precursor to AA. And, there was one alcoholic talking to another. And when they diverted from that primary purpose of one alcoholic talking to another, and they got involved in, abolition movement, temperance, all those things, that's what split them apart. They were destroyed so quickly that, you know, when Bill and everyone was writing the book, they weren't even aware of them at first. And I don't want that to happen to us here. So, you know, from my experience, you know, I do not, you know, those issues, you know, outside issues, religious, psychiatric, whatever, like, you know, I talk to my sponsor about those. I could talk to a doctor if it pertains to other things. But when I'm here to be useful, carry the message, to be a service. And it's just keep it clear, because, you know, I'm going to keep those doors open. We start talking about other things, you know, that's going to split us apart. Because I'm too sensitive, and I don't think I'm mentally equipped to have a heated discussion on politics and religion and not want to drink after doing that for a while. I just feel like it hurts my soul, and it's just a spiritual program. We don't want to taint that with anything that's going to divert us from our primary purpose. So. I think that's all I got. Thank you.
Our second 10-minute speaker is Claire.
Okay, thanks. Hi, I'm Claire. I'm an alcoholic. Atlantic Group is my home group. My sponsor's name is Marla, and tomorrow is my 2-year anniversary. So it's a special night for me to speak. I never thought I was going to get 2 years. I struggled a lot in this program. I've been around for much longer than 2 years. And hopefully tonight I say something that's helpful, you know, especially to somebody who's struggling in this program, because, I'm just here to tell you that, you know, I felt totally hopeless. I felt defective. I didn't know why I couldn't get this. But I'm here to tell you that it's possible. Just going to tell you what I was like, what happened, and what I'm like now. I think for me that I was born an alcoholic. I have alcoholism on every branch of my family tree on both sides. And I just think I came out of the womb that way. When I heard the term restless, irritable, and discontent, I was just like, oh, yes, that's exactly what I am. That's what I've always been. The description fit me perfectly. Before I drank when I was a kid, I was very uncomfortable in my skin. I didn't want to be who I was. I was constantly comparing myself to other people. I just didn't like myself, you know? And I didn't know that had anything to do with alcoholism. I just, you know, part of that I'm sure was adolescence, but, I just never felt like I fit in my skin. And I had my first drink when I was 14. I was at a high school party in the woods, because I grew up in a tiny town in upstate New York, and that's what we did. And I drank Boone's Farm and Mad Dog 2020, and I blacked out, and I threw up. So I woke up the next day hungover, obviously, but not swearing off alcohol by any means. I had a good time, and I was certainly going to do it again. And so I did. You know, I drank through high school, but was able to live kind of a dual life, right? Like, I was a good kid. I got good grades. I was a good kid. I appeared to be a good kid. I did well in school. I played sports. My teachers liked me. But I also had this other side of me that was like a partier and cool, and I liked that. Like, I liked having this double life. Going to college, I drank a lot in college. I binge drank all the time. I usually blacked out. I thought that was a normal part of drinking. I had no idea that that was abnormal. I really, truly didn't. In college, other substances got introduced to me. Really liked those, thought those might be my problem for a while, but for me, you know, it started and ended with alcohol. Up to this point, I was really able to keep my drinking compartmentalized. You know, I drank when I went out, on social situations, but not on the days that I wasn't, you know, going out socially or partying. And I went to class, and I got very good grades, and so what's the problem? And honestly, I'll tell you, if I was able to keep that up, even though I always drank to excess, even though I was, you know, hungover and said and did regretful things, if I was able to keep it compartmentalized like that, I would not be here, you know? That would have worked just fine for me, but that's not how it went. So I finished college, you know, I start working in the real world, I guess, and, I figured that I'd grow out of my partying and my drinking, but I did not. I found people, you know, that I worked with that drank and used like I did and that partied like I did, and it just picked up. It just continued to pick up, and, for a long time I told myself that this was my choice. I'm choosing to drink. I've changed my mind. I am going to drink tonight, you know, and I kept along with that lie for a long time. I'd scared myself, though, because I knew about alcoholism. I have it in my family. I also have recovery in my family, so I knew a bit about alcoholism and what the symptoms were. But I was not ready for a long time to do anything about my drinking. But it got to a point where I couldn't go, you know, more than a few days without drinking. I was drinking all the time with pretty much everything that I did. I was drinking before social events, after social events. I was hiding my bottles. I was showing up drunk to inappropriate places. You know, towards the end, I was drinking sometimes in the morning. I drank at work. How I didn't get fired, I don't know. But it was just, you know, I knew, at the end, like, I'm in trouble. And I'll tell you what, I remember this very clearly, one of the scariest things for me that finally got me to admit I had a problem and ask for help is I was sitting at my desk on a Monday morning after a long bender, you know, so hungover, so anxiety-ridden, you know, filled with fear, wanting to jump out the window and not knowing what to do, and walking out of the office at lunchtime or whatever and passing a bar and just saying, like, Claire, don't go in that bar. Like, do not walk in that bar. You know, you're not drinking. It's just going to get worse. And I went into the bar, you know, and I drank because I didn't know. I just went, you know. It was like I didn't know how else to shut the noise off, to release the anxiety. It was my only solution. So, you know, eventually I got to a point where I was ready to ask for help. I was just in this soul sickness and this craziness and this constant fear and anxiety that I asked for help. I told my parents I wanted to go to treatment. I saw my sister and my father go to treatment, and they never drank again. So I wanted to go to treatment and get fixed. And, you know, whatever they did there to make you never drink again, I wanted that to happen for me. So I went to treatment, and it did not fix me. It was a great experience. I don't regret going, but it didn't fix me. You know, I really struggled my first year, you know, after treatment, of even putting together 30 days. I wasn't ready, you know, and eventually I was able to put together a little bit more time and, you know, get some sobriety under my belt, but I wasn't able to continuously stay sober. I remained really angry and resentful of the fact that I was an alcoholic and that I didn't get to drink anymore. You know, I didn't get that happy, joyous, and free. I never got that. I felt like I had been dealt a really crappy hand, and I was mad. So, you know, what happened, 2 years ago, I was in AA, and I was working with a sponsor, but I was lying to that sponsor. I had had a long weekend of, you know, just using, and I was not planning on telling anybody. I was just going to go on like nothing had happened, but my sponsor called me that day and was talking to me, and I was just, you know, pretending everything was normal, and she was like, are you using? And I just said, yeah, you know, I am. I am. And she said, do you want to stop? And I said, I do. And so she literally physically couldn't be with me that night. She was dealing with a situation that just made her unavailable. So I met up with my current sponsor, Marla. She took me to a meeting, and for whatever reason, I was just able to hear her. You know, I don't think she said anything different than anybody else had said to me. But I was just given, I guess, that moment of grace that allowed me to hear her. So I just, you know, went at this thing with a willingness that I didn't have before, and especially a willingness to really seek out a higher power, you know, and understand the necessity of that, you know. And so she's taken me through the steps. I've had a different experience than I have in the past. I'm at a point now where I'm sponsoring somebody, and I've never done that, and it's amazing. I finally am able to give back what's been given to me. You know, so many women have given me their time and their guidance and their love and support, and to be able to finally give that back is really a big gift. So, yeah, thanks for always letting me come back, and thank you for my sobriety.